Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We exalt you, Father. We exalt you, Lord. Your mercies are new every morning. New every morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I want to thank God for this morning. He has a word for us. Thank all our brethren online worshiping with us this morning. Thank you for choosing this time to worship God with us. We are really, really, we really appreciate it. God is here and that to bless us. God is here and that to elevate us. I don't know if you came back, you came from home with some burden in your hearts. That burden departs now in Jesus' name. There is no room for you to carry burdens in God's presence. That is, it's against who God is. If you come to God's presence with a burden and you go back with a burden, God was not in that place. But God is here. Praise the Lord. Thank our pastor for this opportunity to minister the word this morning. Thank him very much. It's always a privilege to stand before God's people. It's not a right, it's a privilege to minister to God's people. And I pray that God's word will have a place in our hearts this morning. Before I continue, I would like us to take a confession for 2025. I hope we are ready for that confession. Yes, it's a very powerful word. Very powerful word. Make it a duty to claim every line on this. That's my commitment, though. I want it to be your commitment as well. Are we ready on the overhead? Okay. So we are going to go 1, 2, 3. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order. And this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil, and I replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forward with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life, he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thine wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Please, let's be seated. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. I am excited this morning, not just because it's a Sunday morning, and I see wonderful faces here. I'm excited this morning, not also just because it's June, because June is a special month for me, especially around the time of open heavens. Praise the Lord. He who knows, knoweth. Amen. And I thank God for life. The gift of life, you don't take it for granted. You do not take it for granted. I don't take my gift of life for granted. I have many friends who have left, family members who have left. I have them who have left, who were not older than me, who were younger than me. I have no right to be here, but God has been faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I want to talk about fit out, not in. If you've been following the podcast, if you've been going to the podcast looking at the messages that our senior pastor has been sharing on Sundays, is, you know, the spirit of a champion. And on Wednesdays is renovating your mind and elevating your life. Those two messages are interconnected. If you go through them, your mind, the mind of a man makes him a champion. Amen. If your mind is not focused on God, on the plans of God, on the ways of God, if your conscience is not alert by the Spirit of God, you will never become the champion. So this morning I want to talk about fit out, not in. Why fit out? Fit out because we are in a generation where everybody wants to fit in. Amen. I don't need to tell you. You see it every day in your own life. Our kids see it every day in school. They want to fit in. In those days, when it's time for us to go back to school, everybody observes what the other friend is buying, or the shoe that they are buying, the clothes that they are buying, right? The fashion that is in vogue is what people go for. It's a tendency of the human spirit to always copy what is good. Some copy what is bad. But there is always that tendency to always replicate what others do. But God has called us in these last days to fit out, to be separate. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, if we can have it on the overboard there, please. Any version will be okay. The Apostle Paul was saying, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Apostle Paul was reiterating this. And he says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It's one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. God has called us to be one spirit with him. In Romans 12, chapter 2 also, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Hallelujah. God has called you to be one spirit with him. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. The world has a pattern. The world has a way of doing things. The world has a way of seeing things. And the only way we distinguish ourselves with the world is by doing the will and the ways of God. The Apostle Paul was saying, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind comes in again. Why do you have to renew your mind? Because the world always makes new means and ways to distract us. Amen? And if we don't have renewed minds, we are going to fall in all these distractions. We'll not be able to identify that this new way or new wave is not of God. Called us to renew our minds, not to conform to the pattern of this world. In our families, they want us to do things in a certain way. I remember they would always say, Kermit, why? Bring somebody from to come to America. Why are you just there alone? I'm like, that's not how it's done. they have these pressures on you. And when I begin to explain to them, then they will understand that I cannot lie. Amen? I cannot lie. I remember once one of my daughters called me and said, "Hey, Daddy," I said, "Yeah, what's going on?" He said, "I have a friend who called me and said, there was a graduation. And they are saying they will send me an invitation and I will come." I said, "Okay, yeah, that's good to come to America. That's fine." So after that, what? She said, "Well, after that, I can go and, you know, go and file for asylum." I said, "Okay, that's good. So you are under what threat? Tell me. Do you know what asylum is? You follow the pattern of the world. You just want to follow the pattern of the world because people do it." And she's a very powerful minister in songs. She sings like you will not believe. I told her, "You are a minister in songs. Let's assume that you come here. Then you have to go and lie about something that is not real. You have sacrificed your ministry. Because there will be no anointing for you to stand and minister. The devil has already had you." And she said, "Yes, you are right. Thank you for being honest, always honest." I said, "You're my daughter. I will tell you the truth. Whatever you want to do with it, do it. But that's the truth." A few years after, she called and she said, "Daddy, you know what? I just won the diversity visa lottery." I said, "You see?" I said, "You see? The devil will come with his own ways and patterns, but you have to renew your mind to understand if that is from God." Amen? The devil targets believers to kind of compromise. And when you begin to compromise, you don't have the standing. There is no standing anymore. I was so happy. I said, "Thank you, God, for vindicating this." I said, "What do you need?" They said, "This." I said, "No, take this. This is my own contribution. Go." And they came here. They are in Maryland. She was supposed to be in my ordination, but she's heavily pregnant. But she'll come here one day. She stood her ground and said, "No. I will not identify. I will not fit in. It's not because my brother is doing it or my sister is doing it that makes it right." She stood up. She stood her ground. Praise the Lord. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Why? Because you have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are no longer your own. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. I was at my mechanic one day about 2-3 months ago. And they gave me, I was changing the tires of one of my cars. And they gave me the price. And I looked at it, it was too much. I'm like, "Why is this thing so high? Can you not help, you know? Can you not help me reduce this?" And then the guy said, "Oh, you know what? There's one thing I can do for you." I said, "What?" He said, "You know what? This is what I can do for you. Bring cash, and I will remove this amount." So I said, "No, that's no problem. I have the cash." I went and I removed the cash. But on the way, the Holy Spirit was like, "You know, when you've done accounting and taxes, the way you see things, transactions, is different. It's very different." So, but as I was coming, the Holy Spirit was like, "Where do you think that money that he has cut from is from?" I said, "Yeah, that money is tax money. That money belongs to the city." So what he's doing is, he wants me to partake in his ways of cheating the city of that money that they use for what? For our kids' education, for our roads. I said, "Okay, that's it. I have the money, let me go. So I go and I enter the shop and I look. I put the money down and I said, bring it, let me see. And he brings the receipt. I said, oh, I see. So you are removing the tax. And that was it. It was the tax. He said, yeah, Kermit, yeah, it's the tax. I said, oh, no, that's not, I'm not doing it. I told him, I will pay all plus the tax. And he said, but you know, I also pay tax. I said, yes, you pay tax. I have to pay my own tax. And so I paid my tax. These simple things that we think they don't matter, matters. I am telling you. Whenever you go, whenever the devil comes to attack you, look at the story of Job. God was boasting about Job because Job was exemplary. The devil could not find anything against Job. Nothing. He, according to the pattern, the way God wanted him to live, he lived by it. He was sacrificing for the sins of his children. He was sacrificing for everything. He was worshiping God, giving his tithes, everything. He was living an exemplary life. He did not want to part. He was not making his life as the pattern of the world. And so the devil had nothing against him. Now, as believers, there is one thing we should know. That when we stand before God to pray, the accuser of the brethren is always there. Why do you think they call him the accuser? Because he will remind God. That is that one who paid. He refused to pay the taxes of the city. Because God's word, he cannot break his word. You remember the story of Esther when the king has said something and it is decreed, it has to happen. It has to come to pass. It's the same thing with God's word. We have been bought with a price. We have been called not to fit in with the world. I'll give us an example of two people in the Bible and their behaviors towards fitting with the world. And of course, David will be one of them. But I would like us to go first to Saul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, if we have 1 Samuel chapter 13, you know, the way you start something, the way you start something always matters. Saul was the king of Israel because the people wanted him to be king. The Bible says the people fell, they wanted to be like their neighbors who had kings. They rejected God. God who took them out from Egypt, who took them through the Red Sea and brought water out of rocks and gave them manna every day. At some point, when they became comfortable, they started looking at their neighbors. They wanted a king like their neighbors. They wanted to conform to their neighbors. And so they gave birth to this man called Saul. And Saul, in his mind, I think he knew that because the people are the ones who requested for a king, so he had an obligation to always please them. That was his error. It cost him his throne. Compromise is the greatest sin that thwarts a man's vision. Your vision, your purpose in life will never be attained if you live a compromising life. Amen? It will never be attained. 1 Samuel 13, 1-3, verse 11. First Samuel 13, verse 11. And the Bible tells us, say, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered. So Just to give you a background, Saul had to wait for Samuel for 7 days for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice. It was not his place to do it. But the Bible says Saul had waited and he became frustrated. And when the people started scattering, you know. And so when he saw the people scattering, he said, guys, come here. I'll do it myself. I think I'm the king. I have that power. But he did not know that, unlike the United States, where you have these three three branches of government, everybody is unique. And everybody have their own power. His was not. The president of the United States cannot make laws. Amen? No. The judicial part of the government in America cannot be negotiating trade deals. Right? No, they cannot. Everybody has his place. Saul's place was to wait. His place is to fight the wars. That was his place. Fight the wars and win them. But when it comes to priesthood, to ministering to God, it was Samuel's place. And there is no way you will let that go because you want to please men. Because you want to please men. He let it go. He said, because the people were scattering, I decided to take it upon myself. And that was the first strike where God said, because you've done this. The Bible says, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He admitted it. I forced myself. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. See how this man lost the throne. One act of disobedience, one act of pleasing, one act of trying to conform with the world, he lost the kingdom. Praise the Lord. We will not lose our inheritance. We are not called to lose our inheritance. We are not going to conform to the world. We will fit out. We will be separate. Amen. Then there was the same story in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Same thing happened. Verse 24. And the Bible says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Now, the Bible says in 22, let's go back a bit. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. God was not interested in the sacrifice. God was interested in the obedience of what he had told Saul to do. He had told Saul to kill the Amalekites. He said, wipe them out. Ban them. You know, Bible scholars, when they say ban, you are killing everything that breathes. That was what they told him to do. Ban them. But he went there. And because the people, you know, loved the cattle, and, you know, he said, okay, you can have it. Take it to yourself. Steal the people. He was focused on the people. And he was not focused on God. Praise the Lord. He was focused on the people and he was not focused on God. And because of that, two strikes. That is how he lost his kingdom. And there was nothing he could do about it. And even to repent, he was repenting to Samuel. Instead of repenting to God, he was repenting to Samuel. You know? But then, I bring you David. David, who was not really, one cannot boast that David was a righteous man. No. That was somebody who committed adultery and had to kill somebody for that and all those things. He was not perfect. But the Bible tells us Psalms 51, I think. In Psalms 51, verse 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression." There's room for repentance in God's children. Amen? When you fall down, don't remain there. Don't be like Saul. Be like David. What he had done was really, really bad. He committed murder. It was one of those, he broke the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not kill." Right? But the Bible says, because David was quick to recognize his faults, because David was quick to understand that God is the one who forgives, and he was always quick to repent, he was after God's heart. David was a man after God's heart. He was not a man after God's heart because he killed Goliath. He was not a man after God's heart because he killed the lion and bears. He was a man after God's heart because when he recognized his wrong, he was quick to ask for forgiveness. He was not beaten about the bush. Two different approaches. David was one of those people who will not want to fit in. He will not. He will tell you as it is. David will not go out for war without asking, "Am I supposed to go to war? Is this the right thing for me to do? Should I attack or should I stay?" And because of his recognition of who God is, God always makes sure David, even when he sinned and God has said, "The sword shall not depart from thy house," God made sure that prophecy did not begin when he was still alive. Because of that soft spot that David had. And then there was the time when David, I don't know what took him, in 2 Samuel 24:10, where he decided to number the people, his army. He decided to say, "Oh, let me see how strong I am." Instead of depending on God, he wanted to see how strong he was. He wanted to count his military might. You know, when we were growing up, during the Cold War, how the Soviet Union used to show their might. If you remember, those who did history, if you go and look in the history books, the way the Soviet Unions will show their might is that they will march with all their weapons. They'll put the military up there, and then you'll see these intercontinental ballistic missiles. You ask yourself, why are they marching with intercontinental ballistic missiles? He's just trying to say, we cannot fight a war now, but if you dare, this is what I have. They call it Cold War. You're fighting a war without hands, without really shooting anything. You know? People measure their strength with the military power that they have. You know? The number of army that they have. David, the devil pushed him. And he began to name, to number his military. And the Bible says God was not pleased. God was not pleased. They say, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Brethren, repentance is a gift. Praise the Lord. Repentance is a gift. Those who are always quick to repent always have the favor of God following them. Amen. Those who are always quick to repent, God always reveals himself more to them. God will always appear before anybody who knows how to identify his wrong and acknowledge it. Amen. Even you as parents, whenever your child does something wrong and you are angry, you're like, why did you do this? And you just hear the child says, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Mom. You need to have a heart of stone, right? Yes, you need to have a heart of stone. If a child, you see a child really feeling sorry for what they have done and they tell you, I'm sorry, forgive me. You need to have a heart of stone. You see that anger that you have, just disappear. Amen? Just disappear. Is that kind of relationship that David had with God? Is it the kind of relationship you have with God? When you do something wrong, do you come to God? Or if you do something to somebody that is wrong, do you go to them and say, I'm sorry? Do you come to them and say, I'm sorry? When you are somewhere and somebody rebukes you, and which is something we don't really have these days, because our skin has become so thick, there are people you cannot tell them what is wrong about them. They're gone. I'm out of here. What does he think? Why is he saying that? You know, we grew up where you do something wrong, you stand there. Kemit, what's happening? Why were you doing this in front of everybody? Why? It is wrong, Kemit. What you did was wrong. And you are there, your head is enlarging, getting big, and you are... But then at some point you realize that the moment you just say yes, you accept it. Amen? The moment you accept it, that yes, it's wrong. What you are saying is wrong. Knowing fully well that the person telling you this thing that you are wrong is not telling it from a place of hate, but from a place of love. Amen? From a place of love. And so you take it in. These days you don't rebuke people, though. Some preachers will not. They will not. Meanwhile, there are others who want you to rebuke them. Tell them what is wrong. Tell them, when Nathan came and met David after he had sinned, God sent the prophet Nathan, say, go and meet him. Tell him what he has done. When they told him, that's when he said, I have sinned. He did not say, who sent you? Who are you? You talk to me like this before my subjects? God, take him. Right? Is that not what they did to John the Baptist? Remember when he was telling, I think it's Philip, that you took your brother's wife. And he became so angry. That's what caused his death. Because they touched him, they exposed him. David was exposed. But because of the relationship he had between him and his God, and his instinct, the quick, fast instinct of always acknowledging his faults and asking for forgiveness, he got mercy. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want us to know one thing. Fitting in with the world deprives us from attaining our goals in life. We will not become the champion. We will not have a renewed and elevated life if we think that we can every day try to fit in with the world. Amen. It's not going to happen. They say, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members. These are some of the things that the world will not understand. We should be in a place where each day where we go, people understand who we are. If you are somewhere and they don't know that you are a child of God, rethink and readjust your life. Tell God it's not right. You have to be that light. Amen. Amen. You must be recognized as that one who fits out wherever you go. Hallelujah. We are in the days where people are, like I said at the beginning, we are in the days where people identify you by what you fit in. There are people who ride bikes and put flags so that you see it and say, oh, that man stands for this. You go to people's homes, you see some flags. And you know they are trying to tell you that, look, I stand for this. Okay? Now, we have been called to have our own flag, which is our life. That's your flag. To live as believers in this last day where people want us to fit in. We had our son had his birthday on Saturday. Praise the Lord. The mother decided to invite some people. And I told her, this is Ethan you are talking about. There were people here. I said, okay, we are ready for this. And people came, thank God. It was a wonderful time. He was so excited. And some of our friends came behind and said, Kermit, how can you make a party? You don't buy alcohol. I said, you don't know me. You have forgotten who I am. They said, oh, you don't know Kermit? Somebody fought for me and said, oh, you don't know Kermit. He doesn't do that too. If he has his party, he will not buy you alcohol. He will not. You want to bring alcohol, come and bring it, drink it out there. But you will not in Kermit's house do that. So you see, they already know that we are going to Kermit's house. Let's go and eat. We'll drink water. If there's juice or whatever drink, we'll drink it. But if you are coming to think, you know how they make this birthday now in the world? They make that from 4 to 7 kids' time. Then 7 now upwards, adult time. That's when they eat, or they drink, they are drunk, and then they dance and the rest. But that's not how we do ours. We will not fit into the world to try to be approved and accepted. We will not do that to please the world. We will stand our ground and always make sure we stand where God wants us to be. Amen. Make us stand where God always wants us to be. Before I close, I would like to share something from, I've made up my mind and a commitment that knowing God intimately. Brethren, if you have not been reading it, I will encourage you to read it. This quarter, this is June, this is the last month of the second quarter. This quarter, I made up my mind and I said, you know what? I'm going to go through this book meditatively now. Okay? Meaning that my quiet time will be time spent reading this book, getting what God has for us, God has for me. Knowing God intimately is a very, very fervent cry that God has for us in these last days. It is so important, I cannot overstate it. I'm seeing it in my life. I'm seeing how having to meditate on these words on a daily basis, you know, shapes the way I react to things, shapes the way I see things. You know, that harsh way of just, you know, getting into conclusions. You know, something happens, you just get into conclusions without actually thinking about it and, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to calm you down and say, there might be something else involved here. You know, I see it in my life and I ask myself, why? Then I remember, I say, yes. The more you spend time before God, the more your spirit becomes quickened. Quickened in the sense that the more you are able to understand, to hear God, the more you are able to hear God when God speaks. The more your reaction towards normal things that people will react normally the same way, your reaction just is different. Praise the Lord. We have to feed out, not in. And if you, I'm reading from page 44. I think that should be chapter 3. Chapter 4, which says, 4 ways to know God more. Now, says, when the presence of God is precious to us like that, we cultivate habitual fellowship with Him. So, let me back up a bit. It says, one day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day in your presence, 1 minute in your presence is better than 24 hours and 1,000 years elsewhere. He is saying, I love your presence and I crave your presence. When the presence of God is precious to us like that, we cultivate habitual fellowship with Him. Amen? Say, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all day long. When we esteem the presence of God, we gain access to more of Him. The psalmist isn't just talking about the corporate presence of God. When we all come together with other believers and enjoy the presence of God in singing, worshiping, praying, praising, as we have done this morning. That corporate presence of God is awesome. But even more awesome is when we esteem His presence in our own individual lives. Just by ourselves, when we carry and nurture His presence like the precious treasure it is. Glory to God. That is a rich experience that cannot be described or understood in mere words. It is life-changing and life-enriching. When the practice becomes a constant and continuing staple of our lives. Praise the Lord. When the practice becomes a constant and continuous staple in our lives. God is calling out to us that we should fit out. We should not compromise and try to fit in with the world. These last days, God's presence is what we should desire after. You should come to a place where, a time where you yearn for your time with God to come. Amen? Where you yearn because you know that when you are there, God has His answers. His presence fills you up. Hallelujah. Let us stand up. God has called us to fit out, not in. God has called us to have a passionate desire to be different. We do not have to conform. We do not have to conform. You have to bring your body under subjection. It's not just a desire in your heart. It's an active will. Willing your body and say, look, set aside time every day for God. Hallelujah. The life of a Christian is not a perpetual life, meaning that it's not just a one time where you will just have power just coming. It's a life where you have to come before God's presence to guarantee a refreshing. Even the batteries in our cars have expiration dates, right? There's no perpetual battery that Duracell has discovered. There is no perpetual battery that even the genius of Elon Musk has discovered. Each of those batteries need recharging. We need recharging every day. Because the world saps us. Believers, the world saps us. You go through one day and you are exhausted. You are drained. How do you renew yourself? Do you renew yourself before the television? Like the pastor said, are you that one who knows all the movies that are in the box office? When somebody sings a song, the pastor, you finish the song before the person? Are you that one? If that's your life, it means you are tapping from the wrong source to recharge yourself. You are recharging from the wrong source. We have to recharge in God's presence because His mercies and blessings are new every morning. They have to be new every morning. Hallelujah. Begin to pray for yourself that you are going to esteem God's presence above everything in your life, and nothing will take that part of your life away from you. You will not fit in to the world. You will not do as the world does to recharge your life. Your life is connected with God. And so you have to recharge in God's presence, not the world. If we are called to be champions, we have to fit out, not in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord. You've called us to fit out and not in. You've called us to esteem your presence, Lord. To recharge in your presence. Father, I pray that we are going to recharge in your presence. We are going to esteem your presence above everything in our lives. We are going to see how precious your presence is. We will desire your presence, Lord. Our joy will be your presence. We will not compromise. We will not sacrifice at the altar of the world. We will not do that, Lord. Thank you for your word this morning. Bless us this week, bless us this month, Lord. We go with your presence. We go with your guidance. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.